When a patient is told they need a kidney transplant, the clock starts ticking. Can they stay healthy long enough to be a candidate for an organ when one becomes available? Dr. Alfredo Fabrega, medical director for the Kidney and Pancreas Transplant Programs at Banner University Medical Center Phoenix, says the process really is a waiting game. The average time to get a kidney in Arizona is 5 years. In California, it's 12 years. That's a long time to go through dialysis, a procedure that takes 4 hours a day, 3 times a week.
Meanwhile, with the opioid epidemic raging, a population of younger patients are dying and leaving behind healthy organs, which increasingly are infected with hepatitis C. Those organs used to be discarded, but now Dr. Fabrega says new drugs are permitting Hep C negative patients to receive organs from Hep C positive donors.
Basically, the waiting time is less than 2 months with the patients that agree to accept these kidneys. And because we now have drugs to treat hepatitis C, we can do the transplant, they do develop hepatitis C, and then we treat it. It's a 3-month course of antiviral drugs, and they're cured of their hepatitis, and they're off dialysis.
Dr. Fabrega says Banner has done 7 of these transplants already, and they're planning to expand the program further.
In fact, this medical breakthrough is taking place across the country as doctors are studying ways to address a tragic supply and demand problem. I talked to Dr. Niraj Desai, assistant professor of surgery at Johns Hopkins, about their own hepatitis C transplant study.
So our thought process was, how can we use these organs and not discard, but have them end up being usable, transplantable organs?
I want to talk a little bit more about why this was important. Like you said, this is because there were so many of these organs, kidneys in this instance, that couldn't be used. And at the same time, this is because there has been a rise in hepatitis C cases around the country, right? Tell us what's behind that.
The reality is there's a large increase in the number of donors. And this is due to the very unfortunate opioid epidemic, including injection use of opioids such as heroin or fentanyl or other drugs. The net result from a transplantation perspective has been there have been more donors due to deaths associated with overdose. In that population, about 30% of the donors are hepatitis C positive. And due to this sort of national epidemic and tragic events that we have related to opioid overdose, we also have a lot more donors, and many of them are hepatitis C positive. So there's been an increase in both areas.
So this is a way to at least get something positive, it sounds like, out of this sort of tragic crisis that we're experiencing.
Yeah, certainly, you know, the complex problems that are associated with the opioid epidemic are, way outside of my area of expertise. But what I do know is there's a very large shortage of organs. There's nearly 100,000 people in the United States waiting for a life-saving transplant.
Are there special complications with this surgery that that wouldn't be there if this was a kidney that was not from someone who had hepatitis C? Or was it more difficult to approach?
You know, from a consent perspective, we had to talk to the recipients very carefully about enrolling in the study, and that informed consent process is quite extensive. From a surgical perspective, you know, it's a very routine operation for us. It doesn't seem any different than a regular kidney transplant. We're very used to handling organs that are hepatitis C positive based on the liver transplant experience, where approximately 50% of patients historically that have received liver transplants are hepatitis C positive. So we're used to that as surgeons. From a medication perspective, you know, patients that receive organ transplants are on a lot of different medications, and this hepatitis C treatment that we give them in our study was for 12 weeks and was basically one extra pill per day given in the mornings.
Right. But there are, at the same time, some serious extra costs related to this, correct?
There are extra costs. In the context of the study, the medication was provided to us by the study sponsor, which was Merck. If one were to do this in a clinical context, there is a significant increased cost associated with those hepatitis C medications. The initial price for these direct-acting antivirals when they first came out a few years ago was close to $100,000. In the past couple of years, the cost has come down as more have come to market and various therapy courses have become available. So now the most recently available product can be given for a cost of just under $30,000. So the cost has come down dramatically, but still is quite expensive. And thus far, we've not been doing this as routine clinical care because there's still a coverage issue for these medications. Technically, until the patient has hepatitis C, the insurance company won't pay for it. And our approach has been to treat the patient before they're even exposed to the organ, just several hours before. So it's not something that we have come up with a way for insurance carriers to pay for, and most importantly, Medicare to pay for.
That would be your hope, though, right? That eventually this would be something that would be covered by insurance companies, by Medicare. How far away are we from this being kind of the standard of care or a normal practice?
I think we need more data to show that what we've done and what others have done in relatively small numbers continues to be effective. So our study had 10 patients in it. There's a publication from the University of Pennsylvania that has 20 kidney recipients in it. Once we get a critical number of patients, and it's hard to say exactly how many, but you know, we'd like to do a multi-center study, which we're working on organizing currently, and get greater numbers so that we can say this is not just effective in 10 patients, but effective in many more patients, so that we can then go to insurance carriers and say, hey, this should be standard of care and should be something that's covered. The cost of the hepatitis C medication should be covered by the insurance companies so that it can be combined with the organ transplant to get people transplanted sooner and not wait around for those that can receive it.
All right. Dr. Niraj Desai is an assistant professor of surgery at Johns Hopkins University. Dr. Desai, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this today.
Thank you very much.